Yeah, my student Kachi is at NVIDIA now. Eugene is at Oregon State, and Yuri Bittner is at Prague. So we're interested in the following problem. As input, you have a set of unstructured triangles where each triangle has two faces. So these two faces can be seen as the possible orientations of the normal vector. And what we want to do is, in our algorithm, is we want to classify each triangle face as either inside or outside. So if you look at the figure here on the slide at the bottom, then the classification can be visualized by, for example, visualizing here all the outside faces, that's interesting, as blue, and all the inside faces as red over the coding of the normal vector. Just a preview, so why do we want to do that? And the reason is this is the core of several problems, a core algorithm of several problems. One is, given a triangle mesh, let's remove all the inside triangles. The other one is, given a triangle mesh, can be segmented into layers. And the third one in our paper is, given a triangle mesh, can we orient all triangle faces or all triangles. Now, let me give you a high-level walkthrough over our algorithm. So we start with an example here where we have four triangles. I mean, this is in 2D, so you see line segments. And each of these four triangles has two faces, so we have eight triangle faces. Now, and these triangle faces, we're going to interpret as nodes in a graph. So, and we also labeled them. Now, the key idea in our algorithm is to say, when do triangle faces have the same classification? So actually, triangle faces should have the same classification if they see each other. So if there's a strong visibility relationship, then they'll probably have the same classification. So what we do is we use stochastic ray shooting, similar to Monte Carlo radiosity, where in this example you see from phase 2, a lot of random rays are shot out to evaluate the visibility relationship to other phases. And if you then look at the visibility graph that we get, already looks pretty decent. So we see how 2 is connected to other faces. But we need some more connections. So we need actually two more nodes. We need an outside node, which is typically a bounding surface around our mesh. And then the visibility relationship is between this bounding surface and faces of the mesh. This can be evaluated very easily. The inside node is a bit more tricky, so let's just say it appears magically for now. And then we get the better graph that we can use. And now to get the classification of what is really inside and outside, we need to compute the graph partitioning or graph segmentation or graph cut that separates the inside and outside node. So we want to compute the optimal cut. In this case, it's this one. And this cut then gives rise to the classification. So all the nodes and all the, which is all the faces that are grouped with the outside node are classified as outside, and all the faces that are with the inside node are classified as inside. So if you then look back to the model, you see the classification here. Now, I hope you share some of our excitement of this very simple and elegant algorithm. Unfortunately, there are a lot of problems still in the details. So we need to look at a few more details. But to put a more positive spin on it, we just call them contributions. So our solution to these problems is what we had to work for in this paper. So first issue is there are coplanar polygons. Unfortunately, these are always very tricky to handle. So as for example, these red ones in this example here. Then we have self-intersections. So if the triangulation is not done properly, then triangles can intersect each other. we have cracks. And cracks, what you see on the right here is a volumetric model where just one face is missing. So we still want to kind of capture this volumetric idea of this object and classify it as cracks. But then what also happens often is actually if the volumetric structure is destroyed too much and is not really there anymore, then you could call that huge cracks, but actually then we want to switch to a probably better interpretation. That is the one that we actually have two-sided triangles. These are triangles with which two outside faces. So that also should be captured in the algorithm. Now, and the last part is what we want to do in this paper is we actually want to compute the clean object-based visibility. So this is an inherent property or object-based classification. This is shown to the right. And this is an inherent property of the mesh. This is not dependent on some viewing surface surrounding the mesh, as is typically done in view-based visibility shown on the left. This is what a lot of previous authors did. Now, what you see on the right with what we do, the big difference is that we also correctly, if that's what you want to do, classify concave regions of the mesh. So if you see this tunnel going inside this object, we still correctly classify outside triangles. So a few more details to three algorithm steps: pre-processing, graph construction, and graph analysis. For pre-processing, we have to build a KD tree to be able to run our ray tracer. And we use actually the ray tracing code and the KD construction code from Intel as published by Reshetov et al. And then there are two steps where we mark all intersecting triangles and all coplanar triangles. Now these are very lightweight computations. These are not very difficult. You still have to implement them. But what we all we're interested in these two steps is we want to just flag triangles as, hey, here's a problem, right? So just mark if the triangle is coplanar or self-intersecting. So we use algorithms by Möller. And this is the minimum set of things we need to do. Optionally, we typically do that for our results. We can use clustering of triangle faces that very likely have the same classification. So you can use any trivial clustering. Main thing you need to do is you just need to be careful that any triangles that are marked as either self-intersected or coplanar cannot be part of any cluster. They always have to be by themselves and some other details. So this clustering is a pure acceleration idea to make the algorithm run faster. It's not necessary for its functionality. Now, if you want to use this really clean and simple algorithm introduced before, you could add really heavy mesh computations on top of that, which would be having a computation that really computes exact triangle intersections or coplanar triangle removal. Unfortunately, we found that these two computations are not very robust. This certainly did not make the student very happy, so we implemented them, but it's really difficult to make them run for all cases. Actually, hard models that we were interested in, these things don't run too well. So what we did is we tried to do develop an algorithm that is kind of robust to these very difficult cases, but we kind of have to limit ourselves to we cannot really classify these coplanar intersecting triangles perfectly. We just have to resort to making sure they don't ruin our algorithm. Okay, the graph construction has three parts: node creation, edge creation, and edge weight assignment. So the simple case of node creation is if you just have a single triangle that's not flagged or a triangle cluster. And in this case, we have one graph node in our visibility graph that corresponds to many geometric point samples. So in this figure, you see that there would be one graph node for these blue point samples on the surface and one graph node for all the orange point samples on the surface. And so we have this graph node, and then we use a geometric sampling algorithm to generate all these geometric point samples corresponding to the graph node. Now, in the hard case, this is coplanar triangles and intersected triangles. We have one graph node that corresponds only to one single geometric point sample. So, for example, for this coplanar example on the bottom left, you see this is by showing with different color coding. We would have here in this example maybe six geometric samples, but they would give rise to six graph nodes. So you can see that the more of these ugly coplanar or self-intersecting cases we have, actually the more graph nodes we also need. Now, when we have these graph nodes, what we need to do is shoot a lot of rays to evaluate the visibility relationships. And what we do here is we start out with the stochastic radiosity formulation for form factors, as, for example, published by Matteo Spea, 93, or as described in the great book Advanced Global Illumination by Dutré et al. And from there, we start deriving our formulas. So we end up, for example, for the weight assignment in the simple case with a simple way to compute things. So if you look at this formula, it says that the weight between a node I and a node j is 1/2 times, and then you have ai is the area corresponding to the node I, times, and then nij are all the ray samples leaving node I and arriving at node j, divided by the sum of ray samples that are shot out from node I. Now, and again, there's some tricky things in the detail we need to take care of. So there are multiple ways the user can assist in specifying inside and outside nodes. This is just necessary because a lot of meshes, they don't have an inherent definition. You need at least some minimal input to say how this mesh has to be interpreted. So the user can specify surfaces or points or faces as hints. Then there is some tricky part in the derivation for half-space nodes that only correspond to a single point sample. So we somehow need to give them an area, and we somehow need to modify the ray shooting to make sure we don't misclassify visibility information due to coplanar or intersecting triangles. And then another part we describe in the paper is that actually this definition of a crack is also a semantic thing that has to be specified by the user. But how big does a crack have to be that it's still called an unwanted crack error in the model, or when it gets bigger, then it should be classified as a hole, which is a real hole in the model. So there's a possibility to, in contrast to global illumination, filter the weights to actually distinguish between these cases. So, how is the classification computed? If we have this graph now with the nodes and the edge weights, we are interested in the optimal segmentation, and this is a graph segmentation or graph cut problem. We want to compute a cut in the graph that segments the inside and the outside node, and this cut should be computed so that the sum of all the edge weights that are cut is going to be a minimum. This is a minimization problem, and we use the code and algorithm that was developed by Boykov. This is actually a bit surprising because it was developed for a very different type of graph cut problem, but we found that it still works for our case really well. Now, how can we now use our algorithm to work in the applications? So let's say we have the normal orientation problem, then we get the input and we don't know how to orient the triangle faces. And what we do is we run the classification, and then we have the outside. We typically take all triangles and we orient them so that they point towards the outside normal vector. Now, the tricky part is what you see in this example of the bird in the close-up way on the right. There's some yellow triangles. So actually, these are very thin structures where triangles might have two outside faces. So actually, we cannot have a trivial orientation for all triangles. There might be these double-sided triangles, how we call them. These then actually would be replicated, if the user wants, in the model, and then we basically have one triangle for each normal orientation. And this is the difficult part that wasn't really addressed in previous work. Now, for inside removal, what we do is we also run our classification algorithm, and then all triangles that have two inside faces, we can mark them for removal. And this is actually one of the main motivations that led to the development of this algorithm, because this is a very difficult model that pretty much kills everything that is out there. And it is so difficult because it has many coplanar triangles. And these coplanar triangles are just not able to be handled in other work. Even though the number of triangles are not very much, it's just the combination of intersections, coplanar triangles, and maybe some holes that make this a really difficult case. For layer extraction, we recursively run the inside removal algorithm. So we set it up once, then we extract the outer layer, then we can run it again, get the second layer and the third layer. This can be used for a layer visualization algorithm such as the one proposed by Everett in 2001. Now, how does what we compare to related work? There are a number of related algorithms, and very popular in the last years were volumetric algorithms for volumetric mesh repair. And for comparison, we picked the one by you. It's the one we liked a lot, but also they had some source code on the web. We also could have picked the one from Bishop, but unfortunately we didn't get code for it. So we have to say that this algorithm by Tao Yu is more complicated than ours. It can also fill holes, which we're not interested in, so it's a much more heavyweight algorithm. But it would also be an option for this triangle orientation algorithm. Then there's some raycasting inside-outside classification algorithms, but here we argue per definition they actually don't do what we want them to do. And then surface-based model repair. This is, again, really heavyweight computation. It's not really clear if that's going to work. So I just want to highlight one example. This is the building model that I showed, and I'm comparing here our algorithm that's in the first row. It's called VGC, Visibility Graph Cut, and the algorithm by you. And what you see is both methods would take the same number of triangles as input, 24,000, but when we run this as an inside removal algorithm, we actually only write out 11,000, so this is what we want. But actually, the benefit of the inside removal for you, so you get like 2 million triangles as output. Now, that's a bit of a problem. And our time is fairly reasonable, it's still under 2 minutes. So if you look at three examples here, you see that first column is the clustering time we take. The second color is the sampling for raycasting. The third column is for the graph cut. So typically what happens in the models, if the model is easy, then the clustering is, there's some trade-off between sometimes the clustering takes longer, sometimes the graph cut takes longer, sometimes the sampling. And we we, if you look at the last part, we need some memory for that. So this is actually, I think our maximum memory was about 400 megabytes for the models we looked at. Okay, I would like to acknowledge some funding support and support for a lot of the models. And I really want to highlight that I was very happy with the reviewers for this paper. They were really constructive and gave us a lot of great ideas, especially how to fit things into HPages. With that, I guess I leave that up. I think there's time for questions.
Time for questions. Go ahead, up to the mics, please.
So I was wondering what your algorithm will do for non-orientable surfaces, because one should not be able to consistently orient the normals for non-orientable surfaces, and you allow boundaries. So what will it do?
This is a very good question. So let's say you have the client model, for example, right? Then the main answer is we were not really interested in these models. So our algorithm can be set up to somehow handle them, but in principle, what's going to happen is that we would have to define something at the clustering stage that was not implemented right now. So if we use our current code, it's not going to give some useful results. For what we would like to do with it, I think it's more of a philosophical problem rather than a real technical problem.
Not even client model. You can take Mobius strip, which happens all the time in three-dimensional data set. What will happen for Mobius strip?
Because why would you want to orient it if it can't be oriented?
No, it's not the one thing. What it, your algorithm will produce in that case? Do you have any experience on those? Because there are meshes where there are lots of Mobius strips.
So for example, if you would take a but it depends on, there's some minimal user input what we want the algorithm to do, right? So in one setup, the Mobius strip just on the outside, we actually would get a lot of two-sided triangles. Then actually both, all the triangles would have two faces. And then we would duplicate them, and the inside removal wouldn't do anything, and layer segmentation wouldn't also only, you would only have one layer.
Thank you.
I'm just going to be the annoying guy that asks for the source code.
The source code is partially no problem, but the other issue is we use this Intel ray tracer, which is not publicly available. So, and even worse, they only run on a specific version of the Intel compiler, plus you need the license for it. So this is going to be a bit tricky, but we'll see what we can do.
Can you just dump this your size? It's just that it would be great to compare this. I mean, you use TaoJu's code, and you know, if the next guy has two papers to compare against, you get a citation and everyone benefits. So just dump the source there and
let them
figure it out.
You pledge to cite the paper if you put out the source code. Okay. Thanks for reminding us. We'll see what we can do.
Okay, another question?
Yes, I was wondering if your technique could be adapted to deal with multiple layers more than only two.
Well, so the example we showed were this is three layers, right? So if blue is one layer, red is the second layer, and yellow is the third layer. So it works for however many layers you want to have. It works for how many layers are in the model.
Okay, any other questions? All righty, I'll throw in a token question again. In this case, it's on performance. Clearly this is very useful, but it's still taking quite a long time for these moderate-sized meshes. Have you thought about, in addition to like parallelization or other things like that, algorithmic accelerations? For example, deciding you didn't need to shoot so many rays in certain simple cases.
So maybe there are two parts to the questions. So actually, our method does not scale with model size. It scales with how difficult the model is. So for example, this building that we show here is only 24K, but a lot of the models you might actually get with 2-3 million polygons, we can classify in no time. I mean, typically the models are easy. It's just that here almost all triangles are coplanar. That's why it takes such a long time. But some of our 2 million polygon models take almost, you know, they take much less time to classify. However, let's say we would have a really difficult and big model, then I think it would be interesting to do some parallelization, but we have not given it too much thought, especially because my student is now in industry. He doesn't want to do work for free. It's tricky.
Okay, if there are no more questions, let's thank the speaker again.